And if you would, just take your Bibles, your scriptures in hand, and we're actually going to be opening up to quite a few places, and we're going to do a little Bible thumping. And if you're taking notes, I just want you just to write some passages of scripture down, but our core text this morning is going to be James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. And I was joking with Pastor Anna last week that this kind of seems to be like one of the words of the season. but if you're taking notes, you want to write down 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 through 18. And we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. Proverbs 15, verse 23. You want to write down Proverbs 14, 29. Proverbs 16, 23, Romans 8, 6 through 8, Proverbs 16, 1 and 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. And we're actually continuing with our teaching series that we've been doing entitled Own It. Let me hear you say Own It. And we've been looking over the last several weeks on the necessity for Christian maturity. In other words, the need to grow up. And in message one, we looked at, you know, how it's really needed. And last time, you know, we looked at our reaction, growing in maturity. And this morning in specific, I want to, you know, focus on the myths of words or the partial truths about words. If you look with me in the book of James, chapter 1. Verse 19 through 20, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak." Let me hear you say, "Slow to speak." Boy, let me tell you, if we could get that down in our spirit, we would have revival. Okay, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, we live in an era of very loose speech. Now, I know that our Constitution gives us freedom of speech, but friends, we are a kingdom people, and we live in a theocracy in the kingdom. God is in control. And the kingdom is regulated not by the Constitution, but by the Word of God. And when we live by the Word of God, yes, we may have freedom of speech, but at the same time, not everything that we say is needed to be said. Come on now. Okay. You know, I was ministering in a high school some years ago, and I was doing some pastoral care for a murder that had actually taken place in that high school. One of the students was murdered and the school was just under a depression. And I went to the school, and as is my custom, whenever I go to a high school to speak or to minister, to do anything, I like to go a little bit earlier because I like to gauge the atmosphere. Okay. And I like to walk around, just feel what's in operation there. And as I'm praying through the halls or whatever, you know, I'm just asking the Holy Spirit, show me what's in operation in this atmosphere. How many of you know the enemy does try to take over territory? Come on now, that's another message for another time. But, you know, I arrived much earlier and feeling the atmosphere, praying in my spirit. But while I was walking up and down these halls, I was taken back by the language in the school. I'm talking about just students cursing and absolutely no reverence for adults who were present. I mean, just no reverence. And as much as I heard, you know, people talking and saying all types of things, what really caught me by surprise was when I entered into this one hallway, and there was this one girl who from across the hallway yelled to another girl on the other side, and she yelled out to her, "Hey, the B word." And the girl turns around. I thought there was about to be a fight right here. She turns around, opens her arms wide, and they go running to each other. And I was saying, huh? Because growing up, if you ever called a woman that, that was a fighting word, okay? You don't call a woman that. But she called her that, and it was as though the B word was a compliment to her. And as they were hugging each other and, you know, saying hi to each other, I mean, just expletives were just flowing from their mouths. And I was saying, what? And this is the generation that we live in today, where we have forgotten how powerful words can be, that we even become desensitized to them. and what they say about us or do to us. You see, words have power, and the use of words can actually shape environments either for the glory of God or for the agenda of Satan. It's very important that we get this in our spirit, because I do not believe that the Bible ever once gives any implication that words are useless. Words are not useless. Even when Paul says that we don't have a kingdom of words, but a kingdom of power, he was not saying that words were not important. He was basically saying that I am who I am in person as I am in these letters. Words are not useless. Words have impact, and they have power to shape things that are around us. Many of us, we can quote from memory Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, the imagery in the Hebrew of that text is so powerful, in that it literally speaks of a hand that comes out of the mouth either to bless or to curse. This is huge when you really take it into consideration, because words can really influence things. Words can affect your testimony and even in many ways disqualify you from ever having a part in shaping a vision. It's crazy. I mean, who wants to be surrounded by people who all they ever are is negative? All they ever do is speak negativity in the atmosphere. Now, I know this morning we've got a lot of scripture to cover, but I pray that we would discover the power of words, even the power of words when joking. Now, this isn't a message to get us all tight and be on eggshells, okay? But we do have to be careful with the words that we say. And we're going to be looking specifically this morning at some myths of words, or partial truths of words, which actually downplay their power. And we're going to look at what the Bible says. And the first one, many of us we know well, is that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You see, the truth is, church, is that words really can hurt you. Words really can hurt you. And what many people don't realize is that often the premise of this type of mentality is a bullying mentality. It's a bullying spirit where I'm going to just say it like it is, tell it like it is. But the reality is that sometimes your words can hurt. What we've got to realize is that not everybody is on the same plane as us. You see, one of the dangers about this type of mentality or spirit is that we want people to accommodate to our personalities while remaining insensitive to the reality that not everyone is like us. Not everybody jokes like us. Not everybody has the same sense of humor. Not everybody understands things the same way. Romans chapter 14 verse 19 says this: therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify another. You see, there's a difference between walking on eggshells with people. Now, we're going to talk about that in another teaching. When I speak on a victim mentality, okay, I'm gonna bring a message to you called Character Detox, and we're gonna look at six forms of behavior that actually draw people away from you. Okay, six forms of behavior. All right, you see, the truth is that our expressions may not be everyone's cup of tea. Come on now. Okay, they may not be everyone's cup of tea. And rather than taking on this mentality or this spirit that says, you know, you got to just deal with it, we should be operating in discernment so that we can give the right responses. We got to learn how to give the right responses. Now, in the book of 1 Samuel, one of the passages that I asked you to put in your notes, we see the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Hannah is a broken woman. She's broken because she's the laughingstock of her family. She cannot have a child due to her physical inability to give birth. So what does she do? She goes to the church for answers. Verse 7 says that she went to the temple to seek the Lord. And while at church, rather than being consoled and ministered to, she's judged. She's judged and she's spoken harshly toward. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm going to start from verse 12. It says, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now I think that that's important, because that's where we miss it. We're watching, but we're not listening.
So look what verse 13 says. It says, now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Hear that. You see, this is where a lot of problems happen, especially in the church today, where we lean more on perception on matters and we speak more on perception of matters rather than the leading of the Holy Spirit, which operates on discernment. Come on now, somebody. Okay. You see, when you're operating in discernment, you see behind the veil of perception. When you live by perception, then you see somebody with a sad face and you think that they sinned on Saturday night. You see somebody who all of a sudden comes here distraught and you think that their kids at home are acting a mess. But friends, let me tell you something. Your perception of things may not be reality. So sometimes the things that you say may actually be more damaging than lifting. So Eli goes up to Hannah, and as you continue reading this text, he says, "Woman, put away your wine." And she's broken. And in verse 16, she says, do not consider your maid servant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. In other words, she's a hurting woman. Friends, let me tell you something. Our words can tear people apart. You see, the reality is, church, is that sometimes we get it wrong. Even pastors, we get it wrong. Rather than being a minister and inquiring of the Lord what was going on with Hannah and her condition, presumptions took the place of discernment. Assumptions took the place of discernment. And he was led to judge and he misspoke. You see, church, we've got to get into the habit of seeking the Lord. This is the problem with this type of personality, is that the dealing with words is often dealing with the seen over what is discerned. But I'm going to stress this again. Not everything that you see is the way that it is. He says this is deep, because what ends up happening is that the senses of the mind, the senses of the eyes, the senses of the body, they're drawn into this war with discernment. And rather than waiting on the Holy Spirit, on what God has to say, we just got to say it. You know why? Because we have not learned how to grow comfortable in the silence. There's always got to be noise. Somebody's always got to say something. And we've got this tell it like it is personality. And friends, let me tell you that a tell it like it is type of personality may bombastically appear to be mature, but friends, it could not be any more of an immature spirit. Now, some of y'all, I know y'all think I'm preaching about you, but friends, again, this series was written in January, so you're going to love me or hate me. Okay, we going into 2017. We got one more month left. Okay, and if you can make any type of renewal for the year, say, Lord, fix my character. Proverbs chapter 15, listen to verse 1 and 2. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You see, friends, words may not break the flesh, but they can kill the soul. They may not break the flesh. Yes, sticks and stones, they will break your bones, and words may not break the bones. But they will destroy the soul. They will destroy the soul. You see, the words that we speak, they truly display whether or not the character of Jesus Christ has been cultivated and developed within our hearts. Now, I asked you to write down Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. We're going to reference it twice, but I think it's so powerful. Listen to this. It says, the heart of the righteous. I want to emphasize that part. The heart of the righteous. Who is righteous but one? Jesus. So righteousness is not just a quality or a characteristic, but righteousness is a person. Let me hear you say righteousness is a person. Okay. He says the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. You see, what is righteousness but the person of Jesus Christ? Righteousness is not just a mere quality, but righteousness is a person. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus speaking, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Luke chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus speaking to the people of the time, he said, but they will say, don't look here for the kingdom of God, or look here for the kingdom of God. But I say unto you that the kingdom of God is within you. He was speaking of himself. Now, there's more revelation to that, but we're going to talk about that another time. But he says, I'm here right now. I am the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom of God is in your midst. In other words, Jesus was talking about himself. And if the kingdom of God has to deal with a person, then guess what righteousness has to deal with? A person. He said, but seek forth the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, Jesus is both kingdom and righteous. You see, there's a lot of Christians that they love the power of God, but they do not love the character of God. They love his power. Man, let me tell you something. We get excited about miracles, signs, and wonders. But when we have to display the fruit of patience, when we have to display the fruit of gentleness, of course, we love when God displays his character in our lives. Oh, be patient with me, Lord. But we'll not readily display that same character or that same nature in the lives of others. You see, having only gifts with no fruit makes us one-sided. We are not complete. And when we are not complete, we cannot walk in the nature of God. The nature of God is not just his power, church. The nature of God is also his character. And when you match the two together, then you are truly the believer. You are truly the kingdom citizen. I know that we are all works in progress, but we cannot be content or settle for just glory hallelujah parties and leave here unchanged in our character. We had church on Sunday cursing folks out at work on Monday. It don't work like that, church. It doesn't work like that. We have to be real about this thing called maturity. We have to be real about this thing called growth. Because what ends up happening, and I want you to get this in your spirit, when you only operate in power and not in character, you disfigure what God looks like in the lives of other people. You see, some of us have disfigured the nature of God in the lives of other people. And now when people see us and they know that we're Christian, they want nothing to do with our God because of the words that we've spoken. I want to paint this point for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture from Paul. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words or human intellect, but by demonstration of spirit and of power. Now, there's a lot of revelation there because oftentimes we only extract the demonstration of spirit and power part. But I want you to see something here. He spoke and he preached. He said, and my speech and my preaching. In other words, there were words that were spoken. But then he says, in demonstration of spirit, which is pneuma, which is the fruit of the spirit operating inside of our life. He said, and my in demonstration of the fruit of the spirit and in power or dunamis, explosive power. In other words, I didn't just come to you with just miracle signs and wonders, but I also came to you in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering, and self-control. You see, church, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can hurt you. Let's look at the second myth. It's not what you say, but how you say it. See, there's a lot of people like, it's not what you say, but how you say it. Now, there's some truth to that. There is some truth to that. But sometimes it is what you said. Okay, hello? Sometimes it is what you said. And sometimes there is a season where you need to learn to say nothing. Oh, boy, let me tell you. Boy, if we can learn that nothing, we always have to talk. We always have, man, everybody's got to talk. There's a time where we need to learn. You see, my mama taught me that if you don't have nothing good, she's sitting right over there. If you got nothing good to say, then shut your mouth. Don't say nothing. And man, let me tell you, we can use some of mama's wisdom. We really can. You see, there's a lot of well-meaning Christians, and I love it. There's a lot of well-meaning Christians who they take it upon themselves to pastor first assembly of rebuke. Okay? I'm being dead serious. I mean, they like the senior pastor of First Assembly of Rebuke. They operate. Remember, we were talking about the 10th gift of the spirit of rebuke. Okay. They operate in these things. And truth be told, I once acted like that. Now, I know I'm a work in progress. But I was once on staff at that church. Let me tell you, I was once on staff at First Assembly of Rebuke. And it was just like, boom, boom. You know, but Pastor Maria, I love Pastor Maria. She graciously pulled me off to the side one day and she said, Pastor Jose, you are an excellent preacher. She said, but you need to learn to feed the sheep and not beat the sheep. Boy, can I tell you that I was ready to quit? I was mad, man. I was mad. I was like, what you mean? I was mad. But the truth was she was right. She was right, and boy, it was like she whipped out a spiritual machete, and she was like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And I'm like, mm. She's like, now go bleed out and die to self. I'm dead serious. And you know what something the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, Jose, there's a lot of people that they always want to be prophet, but they need to learn to be pastor. And you can't always be prophet. You can't always be prophetic. You know, everything's not, you know, boom, 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 boom. But sometimes you got to be the nurturer. You got to learn the balance. I want you to get this revelation down your heart. We can speak out of season. We can speak a word out of season. It may be the right thing, but it may be a out of season word. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. It says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Now watch this part. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. In due season, how good it is. You see, the litmus test for words that we speak weigh heavy. This is the litmus test. They weigh heavy on two things. Number one, have we been seeking the Lord on what to say and how to say it? How to demonstrate him in an atmosphere? And here's another thing. Do your encouragements line up with your words? Because there's a lot of us that we can't offer a word of encouragement, but boy, we are quick to rebuke. You know, there's an old saying that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Look at Proverbs 15, 28 again. It says, the heart of the righteous. We looked at that first part, the heart of the righteous. Now I want to emphasize that second part. Studies how to answer. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. In other words, there is a learning process that we need to go through on learning what to say, how to say it, when to speak it. It's not just blurting out whatever we feel or whatever we want to say. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. Listen again. Listen to this theme. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Hear that. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. This is huge. This is all about character. Character development, character building. You see, now I will tell you this, that there are times when a word does need to be spoken. This is reality. There's times when a word does need to be spoken, and no matter how you try to spin it, it's not going to land the right way. It's not, because there's some people that they're bound to a spirit of offense. That's just reality. There's just some people that they just don't want to hear what you have to say, regardless of whether you come in the most peaceful, prayed up personality or whatever. There's some times where some people are just going to be like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Okay, I'm dead serious. But I'm talking about you, the one who's speaking. Say, Pastor Jose, you're talking about me. Our responsibility as Christians is to live as sons and daughters of peace. So regardless of whether or not they receive what you have to say, you have a responsibility to be a peacemaker. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Friends, we've got to learn how to operate in the nature of God by displaying the character of God, by being a peacemaker. Friends, many of us, we're not peacemakers. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, but as much as depends on you, walk in peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, work at living in peace with everyone, and without holiness, no man will see God. We have a responsibility to display and to dispense and to disperse the peace of God into environments. But words incite, words kill. And we've got to be careful. Careful with the words that we say. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. I'm going to read this from the Message Bible. I like how it says. It says, overlook an offense and a bond of friendship. Fasten onto a slight and goodbye friend. Let me tell you what that means. You see, every word that we speak, it may not land correctly. But your responsibility is to not reciprocate the offense. There's some people that they may not want to hear what you have to say. But you cannot reciprocate the offense. You see, our reaction toward a negative response that somebody gives us when we share a word that we done prayed about, that we fasted about, shows whether you are really ready to speak that word. Because if you truly have the peace of God, man, you can be persecuted. And just like Jesus, he spoke not a word. See, church, are we speaking words out of emotions? Are we truly led of God? Are we truly led of God? You see, sometimes the words that we say are not needed. They're not needed. Sometimes presence can be more powerful than the words that you speak. It can be powerful. When we're not careful about our words, we can disqualify ourselves. And what ends up happening when you disqualify yourself, you reduce any further influence that you might have in that person's life or in an environment. Nobody wants to take you seriously anymore because all you're ever known is as the person who kills spirits. And that's huge, church. See, I know that this is cutting and chopping, but it's necessary. This is the last myth that I want us to look at. There's a lot more, but I think that these three are perfect, especially for the season. Like I said, January, we're in November. Don't be mad at me. Okay? Number three, actions speak louder than words. Like, Pastor Jose, that's not a myth. I say that all the time. Friends, hear me out. Actions do speak, but words, they can speak too. And they have some serious weight, some serious power. You see, our opening text in James, he tells us to listen fast, to speak slowly. And when we do these things, they affect the way that we respond, whether we'll respond in wrath or in haste, whether we'll respond in the flesh. Listen again to verse 19, James 1:19. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Let me hear you say slow to speak. Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, what we may call action may be nothing more than operating on our impulses. Maybe nothing more than operating on the impulses of the flesh inside of us. Sometimes your actions may do more damage than you think. This is a reality. This is why we have to carefully pray and ask God, teach me how to live. Teach me how to look like you. Teach me how to speak like you. Friends, let me tell you, I get cut by this all the time. Even when I had to preach this word, I'm like, God, you're still doing this in me. Why? You see, our pride, our selfishness, our ego, or our disregard of what people have, of how people feel, or what we are saying in their lives, all these things are affected by a lack of discernment, A lack of discernment. Friends, I really believe this, and I've told you this time and time again, that one of the least practiced gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ today is the gift of discernment. We can see people being swayed by every form of doctrine. We can see people being swayed by whoever's the politician of the hour. We can see people being swayed by social media. We can see people being swayed by media. Nobody has discernment. Where are the sons of Issachar in this day and age who will rise up in a spirit of discernment and know what to speak or what to say of the hour? Come on now, church. But we just let everybody speak for us. Listen to Proverbs 14:29. Look at what the scripture says. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. He who is impulsive, this impulsive nature that's inside, I just got to tell it like it is. I got to tell it like I'm going to let them have it on Sunday. Oro. We might even throw some tongues in there. Holy Spirit's just inside of you shaking his head. That ain't me. That ain't me. You see, the Bible is very clear in its function. That we can, when we operate in the flesh, we are actually fighting against God. And this is huge. We are actually fighting against God. Why do you think it's called division? Okay? It separates vision. It makes it two visions. That's what division is. It means two visions. And there cannot be two visions. There is only one God and one word. But when we walk divisive, we fight against God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. This is a passage I told you to write down. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal man is enmity. Hear that. Is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. In other words, you can't operate in the flesh and operate in the kingdom or in the character or in the quality of God. We disqualify ourselves. Now look at verse 8. Watch what it says. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot please God. Church, as I wrap this up, our responses, even those of words, they have to be led of God. They have to be led of God. That means that words and responses and reactions must flow from an ardent devotion of seeking the Lord. When we go into our prayer closet, it can't be about everything that everyone did to you. Listen, I am tired of a Christianity that talks more about what the haters did in your life and who hurt you and how you never were able to do this and never be able to do that than those that rise up in the kingdom quality and the healing of the Lord, that you are a new creation. We never get past this. How long are we going to be talking about forgiveness? I do got a message on forgiveness coming up, by the way, just letting y'all know. We have a responsibility to prepare ourselves. Church, hear this. You've got a responsibility to prepare yourself for how to speak, because sometimes you may have to speak and you're not always like, well, let me go intercede first. You need to be prayed up already. There's preparations that we have to take. Listen to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. This is powerful. Okay, the preparations of the heart belong to man. In other words, you have a responsibility. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That's huge. Wisdom. Wisdom. You see, there's times when we have to understand that our words may actually be more than action. There is a word that you can speak that is a healing into the atmosphere. But if you speak it out of the flesh, it can be a curse. It can be damaging. I wrap it up with this last verse. See, the type of word that we're called to speak is a word that can bring healing into an environment, healing into an atmosphere. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, it says, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. You see, when you've got a kingdom revelation, you understand that this is more than just vain words. This is prophetic living. That when you speak into an atmosphere, sweetness. You know what the imagery is there of sweetness? When young Jewish boys were growing up, as a child, the father would take a honeycomb and he would place the honeycomb on the lips of the child. And he would wrap and just rub the honeycomb on the lips. And he would tell him, now say the name Adonai. So that the name of God was synonymous with sweetness. But today when we speak, the name of God has been synonymous with our pain, with our impulses, with our brokenness, with our curses, with the things that we've come from in the past. Church, it's time that we start speaking words of healing, healing into the atmosphere, healing that will bring a balm into this nation, that will bring a balm into the church. Healing ointment, words have power, but if we're not speaking the right words, we're doing damage. Church, as the worship team comes forward, what are you saying? What are you speaking? We need to learn how to own it. We need to learn how to own what we say and the words that we speak. It can't always be just how you see it. It can't always be just tell it like it is. It can't always be, you know, well, I'm gonna just let my actions speak. Sometimes people may need the word. We've got to learn to speak, church. So this morning, I want to talk to you, New Life. Are you the healing vessel to this body, to this nation? Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called sons of God. Father, in this environment right now, Lord God, I know your weight is heavy here. But Lord, like Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. For I misspoke, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. Father, we can't get into a words fight or into a words game, for we are a kingdom people. Let the Holy Spirit fill your mouth right now. I gave you a lot of scripture this morning because I wanted you to hear what God had to say on the matter. Words have power. Father, teach us to speak the right word. Speak the right word. The word of the season. The word of the hour. I can't shake this, but now, if ever, is a time for the people to rise up like the sons of Issachar of old. The name Issachar means recompense. And we've got to rise up, church. We have to be the restorative work. We have to be the restorative nature and bring restoration. And words have power. We have seen how words have destroyed, how words have divided, but let us also operate in words of healing.